In our study of God's Word during this particular weekend, we're going to emphasize God's direction toward evangelism and how God directed us to be evangelistic in the sense of carrying the message out to others. A part of the evangelism is the idea of angel, the idea of the messenger himself, and the idea of him to be involved with teaching others. God himself wanted to start at the beginning with everybody. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And the work that was done by Brother George W. D. Hall many years ago about the God of the Bible, he noted a particular physician and scientist that had noted that they had found, they were thought, by describing five elementary things of all that is contained within this universe. There's the reference to time. He said, time is with us. We have time to begin, time to end, time of the day, and so forth and so on. Time is a very important thing. Energy is a very important thing. It's a power there. It makes the ability for living, makes the ability for hearing, listening, and doing whatever. And it is an important matter to have energy. It's an important matter for us to look up in the sky and see the space that is there. I know that there is that which is space. There's not a tree in the way. But then there's also matter. That tree is in the way, and that tree is out there. We see that tree. We see the roads. We see the grass, and one thing and another is matter. And in connection with all of this time and work that he's doing, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, you notice these elementary things. That God wanted to inform any reader of his word and any teacher of his word to start where you are. In the beginning, time. God, the ultimate cause, created the energy level, the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. For the studies that were done for our times, all since the days of Jesus, all the way down the stream of time as scientists, those five elementary things are contained in the very first verse of Genesis in the Old Testament of our Bible. God wanted us to know about him. Going over to the book of Isaiah, a wonderful prophet of God, which people loved so dearly in the day of Jesus, yet they did not hear so effectively in the day of Jesus. They wanted to add their traditions to it, and as a result, they missed seeing the Savior when he came. But in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning verse 21, "Hast thou not known," he says, "hast thou not considered the foundations of the ends of the earth?" He goes on to say, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." Do we wait upon the Lord? That word wait can have five different meanings to it. You can wait at a bus stop for the bus to arrive at a certain period of time. You can have a waiter come to your table and take your order. Go back there and tell the folks that are cooking what particular amount of french fries you want or don't want, and so forth and so on. You have a waiter who waits upon the bed. You can have a wait in the sense that you stop your medicine and you can wait to see if that medicine is doing the work that needs to be done, because you're waiting for that influence to be in your body. And when you have enough of that medication in your body and you get rid of that cold and get rid of that fever, you say, "Write that medicine down. I want that to be in my medicine chest, because that helped me. As I waited upon it, I saw the improvement being done." And the word waiting also can carry with it the idea of something that is just temporary in nature. If the law per se says, "Just wait," and there's a car going by, and it says, "You come on," we temporarily stop in that way. But this particular word here in Isaiah 40, verse 31, look it up in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and look up that Hebrew word, and you'll see that it's the word kaveh. And it means to bind together by twisting. The idea is the strands of a rope. How strong are the strands of a rope? Well, those strands that make up a rope are very weak. You take them apart and you just intervolve them with one another and twisting them together. And then you twist the next one. And you twist the next one. It becomes immeasurably stronger and stronger and stronger. And in some countries of the world, bridges are made out of those very ropes. Bridges hold up those wooden structures that they walk across and go across to get their fruits and vegetables and bring them back to the store or the marketplace. Wait upon the Lord there in Isaiah 40, verse 31 is that word. And it is lovely to us that as we intertwine our lives with the Lord, as we go to visit people, if we go with the Lord, we'll intertwine our work. We will always be going. We'll always be doing. We'll always be personal workers for the Lord. We'll always be reaching out to others to bring them to the Lord. But if we go just because we'll be criticized if we don't go, or there's a sickness going on and I'm a neighbor, and what kind of neighbor would you be if you didn't go and make a visit there? Or there's a circumstance taking place and I'll just go ahead and be a part of it with them. Everybody else is doing it, so I'll join in the crowd. Then when you don't get the pat on the back that you wish to have, when you don't get the recognition that you want to have, you're very likely to be like a lot of other folks I've known in 56 years of time. They no longer do the work of the Lord. They no longer teach others. They no longer reach out to others. Their goal is to be patted up on the back, and their real goal, they got it. That's all. And they didn't get it, and they quit. When you and I make a visit to someone sick with the Lord, we'll keep on doing it. When you and I make a visit with someone that we're talking to about a certain problem, a difficulty that they're creating in their family and life, then you and I will help them along the way. The teaching of the Lord, His Word, is for you and me to start where people are. And we'll start where they are in the sense of we who work for the Lord and wait upon Him. Look what He says there in Isaiah 40, 31 will happen. Yea, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Just like that rope is renewing its strength as you make it up, as the strands are getting worked together, one after another after another. Stronger and stronger are they becoming. Wonderful tugboats are being pulled by them now. The powerful ropes that are being used. Why, what is that? Why, that's just one strand binding with another, binding with another, binding with another. And you will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will not go through a molting process and have only bones out there. You'll be like the eagles. They go through a molting process and have new feathers out there. They'll have the ability to take the young up to the highest of mountains and drop them so that they'll learn to fly. As they flutter down, and weak arms as they have them, they will weak wings as they have them. They will finally give up, and mother will come down and swoop down on wings of eagles and pick them up and take them back up to the heights of the mountains and drop them once again, building their exercise by those wings and the strength that they have. The days come when those little eaglets are now able to do the same that mom could do. They're able to have the strength to soar and to go on. You'll mount up with wings like eagles when you go with the Lord. You'll need that strength sometime when there's sadness that's there. Someone's telling you about a death that's taking place. Someone's been faithful and true and loved the Lord. Someone who's not been faithful and true and left the Lord a long time ago. And tears will flow from their eyes and from yours. But the Lord being with you will make it a part of your life to have that strength that you need to bear someone up, to help someone, to bear them up in prayer, to bear them up in their work, and the encouragement that you'll be doing. You do it with the Lord, but you'll not do it by yourself. You'll not say a word. You'll not move anything. You'll quit. You'll stop. You'll say, it's too deep. It's too heavy. It's too hurtful for me. But if you do it with the Lord, you'll mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. Oh, you'll be able to do that. You can't say soar like wings with eagles, but you can run. You can make that way and make that deal. You can do that work. And you can run and not grow weary. You can walk and not lose strength and not faint. You can really walk and not lose strength or strength. You can do that. You can keep on doing that. The Lord will provide extra strength for you as you go along your way in life. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't it a wonderful way? But if we just wait on it like we're waiting on the bus stop, Lord, bring it by. Lord, bring it by. If we just wait on it like that, or if we wait on Him to serve us like we do at a buffet somewhere, and a waiter comes by, give an order to Him, and He'll serve us, or He didn't serve us, and we're just mad at Him and upset at Him, then those things are a foolish way to identify the word weak that's found in Isaiah 40 and in verse 31. Sad to say, some of those who have translated the Scripture, the Old Testament, the Bible, just looked at that as though it were an English word, and as a result, they have the word out to serve, just to serve. Those that serve the Lord. Well, it's more than that. It's more. Harpeg, look that word up, and you'll see that it means to intertwine by twisting motion so that the strength is gained as the process goes on in those strands together. God wanted us to know about Him. He started with that idea. God wanted us to know that He was the God of heaven. And He gave us the idea that He has understanding. He has understanding from the very foundations of the world. And so back there in Genesis 1 and 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, He intended that man see Him in the creation. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul deals with the idea beginning in verse 18. Of those in the world at large who found themselves not seeing God, and he said, they without excuse, for I am clearly seen by the things that are made. Here we are, we're looking at a world in which we live, and we're living in that day and time in the Roman Empire. And he's saying that they turn themselves over to these ungodly pursuits of life and ungodly ways of doing and mistreating one another right and left. And what happened was simply they did not recognize Him as God. And he said, they could have known me. They should have known me. I was evident in the very things that they looked at around them. I made the ability for the tree. I made the air for them to breathe. I made the ability for them to live. Yet they turned away from me in that way. God was not pleased with that idea. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. The Hebrew letter in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us something that the country music singer sang the song, what part of no don't you understand? Well, what part of nothing do we misunderstand? If we do not have that faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if I want to please Him, I believe in Him. And then when I come to the New Testament Bible, I see where people were taught to come to Him in that faith. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, if you believe that I am He, if you do not do that, you will die in your sins. But He says, if you do believe that, that is the beginning point. There's a way of us knowing that. How do we come to know that? Paul writes to the Romans about that, Romans 10, and you realize that word, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word of God that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That word of God that says, wait upon Him, He'll renew your strength. That word of God that says, the Hebrew writer, without faith it's impossible to please Him. This is the word of God that we're to be accepting. And as a result of accepting that word, we about His existence, we come to accept the other things that He's taught us about the things of the world in which we live. The passage out of Exodus in this regard is a report of matter in Exodus chapter 15 and at verse number 26. God said to the children of Israel as they headed toward the promised land, He said that obey me, follow my will, that none of these diseases come upon you. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2, God speaks in regard to the various people whose lands they go through. And He says, as you go through these lands of the of the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and our good friend, Brother Bill Cobb, must say the termites as well, as you go through that. He says they are mightier than you, they are stronger than you. These seven nations are stronger and mightier than you. Deuteronomy 7:2. But they have missed one thing. I will be with you. I will feed you manna. I will feed you. I will get your fires open in the night. I will feed you. I will care for you. I will guide you to a land that flows with milk and honey. You'll be my people. And then before he gets through with that idea, in Deuteronomy 7 and down to verse 15, he describes once again, and that none of the diseases of Egypt come upon him. If we follow his will and his way, he'll protect us and care for us, renew our strength, he said in Isaiah. Here he says, none of these diseases will come upon you. These things that other people, they take for advantage, they go out here in the world and they participate in the ways of the world. And what happens? The diseases that are so prevalent in the ways of life, for their personal joys and their personal vanities, will come upon you. That none of these things come upon you. Follow me, God says. Follow my way. Wonderful it is to see this teaching of the Lord himself. Now when we see the teaching of the Lord by that faith that we need to have to please him, let's find the examples in the Bible in which we find the teaching of God's word to others. You know, the methods that we use in teaching others, we start where they are. We've got to leg up on the work that we're doing for the Lord. If we try to get over there too soon and they're being baptized into Christ, when they've been told all their life that that's just as a work of man and that it's not something for salvation, we are simply defeating ourselves by getting over there too far, too soon, too quickly, and giving them too much too soon. But we'll come back to the idea of what is the Lord's way? What's the Lord's will? Perhaps some of you have read the work that Michael J. Shank, on the muscle and shovel. And how he explains in the first few chapters of that how that his friend, Brandon, was one that asked him a question. He'd been asked by others along life's highway. He'd considered, are you saved? He said, sure, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But he asked him, have you obeyed the gospel yet? And Michael said in his book, I never heard it like that. He was put in a question form. Have you obeyed the gospel yet? Second Thessalonians 1 and verses 6 through 9. You that are troubled rest with us. For the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel? The book Michael and his wife Sharon on a life's journey, a study of the scripture, getting into a book that they had not read very much of, and a decision to be made at each point where there was teaching to be done. For example, when we start where they are, we talk about the importance of hearing God in the word that is presented. We noted in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. But notice that there's a blessing that comes in the process of this. We understand by hearing God's word how he has taught us. Have you ever wondered in your own mind why it is the case that in the New Testament, the Old Testament, the Bible, the New Testament for our salvation, that the plan of salvation is not found in just one single verse or two or three or four or five. Like the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 were listed like that order. Must it have been that he wanted us to read his word and to see the connection that there are some people who believe in God and don't need to be taught so much about that as they do faith in his son, Jesus Christ? Maybe they know that son, Jesus Christ, they have awareness of that, but they don't know about changing from life and turning from sin and repentance, and thus they need that message. And it's in Synecdoche form that when we speak about those particular things, because God wrote his word in a way in which a part was often set forth to stand for the whole of our process.